Sorry about that. I coughed. I feel like I have to apologize every time I cough, so sorry about that. Now, I just want you to know that I am so spiritual that, you know, many pastors, when they come up to talk and have a table, that they bring a bottle of water or something like that. Not me. I got communion juice, so just want you to know that. That's pretty hardcore. And I want to just remind you of this, too. So this is the second time we've done Lord's Supper since the whole coronavirus thing, and I don't know if you guys remember the first time, but the whole time we did it at our house, and the whole time it was Facebook Live, and it was turned sideways. I don't know if y'all remember that. So everybody's watching on TV like this because it was sideways, and really one of the better moments of my life. I just want you to know that I was so thankful for that. But the best part about that was you know, we came up with our own elements, and so Danielle made us some bread that we could use. And so we had her bread, and I didn't try it before. And so during the actual Lord's Supper, was the first time that I actually tasted it. And I put it in my mouth and started to chew it, and I couldn't swallow it. And, it was so thick and, really dense that, the rest of the time I was just like, so thank you, Danielle. I appreciate it. It was great. Once again, one of my favorite moments of my life. So I appreciate that. It is good to have you guys here. So there was a man back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. His name was Sir George Adam Smith, and he was a theologian, but he was also an adventurer. He liked to go on adventures, and a part of his adventures, he liked to climb and mountain climb and go into mountain, you know, up mountain peaks and different things, all with a guide. I don't understand that. I don't know if that was just his way of relaxing, releasing. For me, it's a nap. So I don't know why he decided to do that, but this is what he did. And so he spent his time going up on these mountain peaks. So at one particular time, he was with his guide, and they were going up a mountain peak in Switzerland. So he made it all the way up to the top, and there was a storm that was kind of howling and starting to gain speed, and it was getting pretty bad. But they were on the opposite side of the mountain, so they could, you know, a little bit safer. They could climb up. So they made it all the way up to the peak of the mountain. And when they got up, this theologian, Adam Smith, George Adam Smith, he realized just what an incredible view, how amazing it was from the top, all the scenery that he could see from that top. So he, with excitement and jubilation, when he got to the top, he just jumped right up on the top and went over to the edge on the other side. And just as he was going to that edge, because of that storm, a huge gust of wind just came rolling over the top of that mountain and almost pushed him over the edge of the cliff, over the edge of the mountain. And just as he was about to be taken by the wind, his guide grabbed him and pulled him back and looked at him, and he said these words to him. He said, "On your knees, sir, you are safer on your knees." You know, that is a true statement in mountain climbing, I assume, if it's really windy at the peak. But can I tell you, it's even more of a positive and great and powerful statement for us as believers. In our Christian faith, I want you to hear this morning that we are safer on our knees. We've been walking through fighting the good fight, talking about this spiritual battle that we are facing every day. As we walk through the different parts of this spiritual battle, the forces of evil that are fighting us on a daily basis, we've talked about the armor that we are to put on. Paul speaks to Timothy saying, fight the good fight, because every day is a battle. And so we talked about this armor, and that's kind of where we focused in the last several weeks of the armor of God. And now in Ephesians 6, we're coming to the last part, really the last part of this series. As Paul wraps up the armor of God, he ends it with something very important for us as believers. He ends it with prayer. So with all the armor that we have in Jesus, all the things we have in our life, Paul ends this challenge to us by talking about prayer. And I want to encourage you today, we are safer on our knees. That we can have all that we think we need in life, but listen, without prayer, then it's just not going to work. And so if you would, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, that's where we've been the last several weeks. We're going to conclude our series in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read the verses 13 through 20 once again and kind of talking about this secret weapon that we have in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 13. If you would, go ahead and open up your Bibles. And if you're able and at home also, if you would stand as we read God's word together. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. And our prayer is, Holy Spirit, that you would work in us and through us today, transforming us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have loved kind of walking through Ephesians chapter 6, talking about the armor of God. And I'm reminded of all the important pieces of that armor. And mostly throughout all of it, we're talking about this defensive armor that is really Jesus, that's important as we do battle with Satan on a daily basis. The temptations that come around us, the things that may happen around us. And we have this armor that's able to protect us. And then we get to really the only real piece of offensive weapon, and that's the Bible. It's the sword of the Spirit, God's holy word, as we have that really hidden in our heart at all times as we speak truth, as God speaks to us and through us on a daily basis. Now, he comes down to this last part, and really, I would call it a secret weapon, and that's prayer. As we think about doing battle, listen, we can't do battle against Satan without being in constant communication with God, talking with God and allowing God to speak to us and speak to our heart. And so I want to look at really verse 18 into 19 on down, but I want to look at those verses and talk a little bit about this prayer that Paul is talking about. He gives us some great insight of what this prayer looks like. And we can apply it to our life daily. And as we apply it, listen, this will help us stand for our faith. And again, it is vital for us to stand for our faith, especially in this day and time. So I just want to look at the first part of this. So make sure you leave your Bibles open to Ephesians 6. We're going to be in verse 18. But here's what it says, the very beginning of that verse. It says, praying at all times. Now, I'll say that my version is the ESV, English Standard Version. You may have something different, so the order of this is a little different for you, maybe. But I'm going off the ESV, and so right at the beginning it says, praying at all times. So I want you this morning, if you have your notes, just kind of look at that. If not, you can write it down anywhere. But listen, to stand firm, we must have nonstop prayer. If you were to get a basic understanding of what that phrase means and what that word actually means, listen, I can tell you with complete confidence that it means all times. That we're to pray at all times. And when we think of the word or phrase all times, we think of non-stop. I don't know about you, but have you thought about what that looks like? What does it mean to have prayer non-stop? Now, first, you know, we ask the question. You know, we may be thinking, Craig, that doesn't make sense. You know, I can't, you know, drive my car with my head bowed with my eyes closed. Well, that's not what Paul is talking about here. Don't get me wrong. Those moments, those times that you spend with God, wherever that may be, in your bedroom, on your couch, in your closet, wherever it may be, those are important, crucial times in your faith. But what Paul is talking here is not just those times, but he's talking about continual prayer throughout your day. And listen, I know, and I've never tried, but I'm pretty sure I cannot drive with my eyes closed and be safe. I know that can't happen, and I'm pretty sure you can't either. So listen, when we talk about this nonstop prayer, what does that look like for us? Well, let's look at some scripture, because Paul talks about this at other places in the New Testament. Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." And he says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and this is one that maybe you have printed somewhere that you have up on your mirror in the bathroom to remind you to do this, but it just simply says, pray without ceasing. So listen, here's what Paul is trying to get at. When he talks about pray at all times, listen, and I want you to really hold on to this, because this is where we're at as believers. Satan does not take a day off. Matter of fact, he probably really doesn't take any time off. And if he doesn't take any time off as he's attacking us and we're being tempted, listen, then we better not take any time off in our communication with God. Because the time that we shut down our communication with God, whatever that time may be, whether it's our vacation time, break time, whatever it may be, throughout a day, a month, a year, whatever it is, listen, when we shut down that line, then we're wide open for the temptation that is around us. So Paul recognizes that, and he says, stay constant in your prayer. Never cease in your prayer. He means this: always stay connected with God. Now, again, that doesn't mean that you bow your heads. It doesn't mean you close your eyes at all times. It doesn't mean that you have to be in a closet all the time or anything like that. What it does mean is that you're constantly being reminded of who God is, and you're constantly looking as you walk about your day, thanking God, praising God, recognizing what is happening, and seeking for God to lead you as you communicate and talk with Him. And the beauty of that is simply this. You know, we talk about prayer being taken out of places, out of schools, out of maybe the workplace, wherever it may be. Listen, if we go by what Paul is saying about never ceasing to pray, listen, you can't take prayer out of anywhere. Because as believers, we are always in the heart and soul of prayer. We're always in this mindset of prayer in our life. And so Paul's saying, listen, you can't pull that away. You can't stop that line of communication at any time, because this is your lifeline with God, which means this. Listen, we pray in private, we pray in public, we pray with loud voices, with whispers, we set aside specific times, we pray spontaneous, we pray sitting, standing, kneeling, lying down, we pray as we walk, when we drive, when we rest, we pray at home, at church, at work, on vacation, we pray hands up, heads down, or heads up, hands down, we pray with eyes open or eyes closed. Listen, we talk about prayer. Listen, prayer is consistent and constant. It is never ceasing. So wherever we are in this continual state of prayer as we seek out what God is doing around us and in us. So it looks like this. One of my favorite pastors, his name is Stephen Cole, and he used this illustration. I thought it was a good illustration. I labeled it the ATM prayer. Sometimes as you know, Christians in our society today, we kind of have those ATM prayer life. I mean, that's kind of how it is. So think about that. What do you do? And well, some of us do this. Some of us, you know, some people, you know, I go to the ATM and there's nothing there. But anyway, this ATM. But we go to an ATM when we need money, right? And so we go whenever we need money. We go to an ATM and we put in our card. Money comes out, and you got it. And then when do you go back to an ATM? Whenever you need some more money, right? And so you go back. Whenever you need something, you go back to ATM. Does that sound like the Christian faith? I'm telling you, so many times in our life, and we've all experienced this, ups and downs in our Christian faith, there are times that we treat our prayer life like an ATM, and we go to God just when we need something, and then we walk away, and it's never even a part of our mindset again until we need something else, and we go back. So as believers in this day and time, we spend a lot of time doing ATM kind of prayer. Well, the illustration was this. It's not, when you talk about constant prayer, continual prayer, it would be pictured like this, not an ATM kind of prayer, but it would be you going into inside the bank because you really like the banker and you want to spend as much time with the banker as you can. So you go in multiple times all day throughout the day. So listen, that is continual prayer. It means that as much as you can, you're with God. You want to be with God. You know God. You want to spend time with Him. You want to hear Him. You want to speak to Him. Listen, that is something we can do without ceasing. No matter where we are, no matter where you find yourself, you are in continual connection with God because you love Him that much. So Paul's telling us, listen, pray nonstop. But also he goes on, he says, not only praying at all times, but it says this, in the Spirit. In the Spirit, praying at all times in the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Listen, to stand firm, we must have Spirit-led prayer. We must have Spirit-led prayer. Now, I know right there a flag's popping up and you're thinking, what? Yeah, Spirit-led prayer, Craig? What are you talking about? I'm not talking, Paul, I don't believe is talking about tongues or anything like speaking in tongues. Everybody has a different opinion of those kind of things. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He's not talking about that kind of charismatic kind of praying. What he's talking about is a prayer life that is leaning upon and resting in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the opposite of a Spirit-led prayer would be a fleshly-led prayer. And listen, a fleshly-led prayer is something that could be pretty common for a lot of us. And I say this, listen, as I'm speaking that, I just want to say, and I haven't said this, but as we're talking about this prayer and what it looks like, know that this is not coming from someone perfect. So I don't know about you, but I mean, I've listened to a lot of preachers that talk about this stuff, and I'm like, wow, I don't know if I could ever attain something like that. Listen, we're all imperfect in this, and it is something that we strive for every single day, all of us. I look at and read about guys that spend hours and hours and hours in prayer in a closet, and I'm blown away by that. But listen, there are many of us that don't do that. So it is hard, it's difficult, but listen, but we can spend time with God that is truly life-changing, and we strive for that every day. So remember that. So if you're listening to all these things and you're feeling already defeated, saying there's no way I could pray like that, listen, God can work and move in your life. Don't ever give up on prayer. And so when we talk about this Spirit-led prayer, the opposite was fleshly prayer. And you may have seen this kind of prayer. Fleshly prayer is pretty much me-centered or I-centered. And that's when we start saying, God, I want this, or I need this, or I really want us to do this. God, do this for me. And it becomes all about us. It becomes focused back in on us. And when we talk about a Spirit-led prayer, what it's talking about is that we are praying for what God desires. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to work and move in our life, and He's leading us in this life of faith, and we want to pray what God desires and what God wants in our life. And so the prayers change from just being me-centered, but now it is gospel-centered, it is kingdom-centered, and no more is it, God, I want this because I need this, but now it is, God, I pray that You would work in my life so that we can boldly proclaim the gospel, or God, work in this area so that Your kingdom can grow. Listen, we move from it being about us to being back on God. Listen, we need to stand firm by this Spirit-led prayer. Romans 8:26-27 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Listen, when we are relying on the Holy Spirit in our life, then what we begin to experience in our prayer life is all about God's will and God's purpose. And so to stand firm against Satan's attacks, we need to be right where God wants us to be. And so one of the things I was thinking through is what keeps us from kind of experiencing that Spirit-led prayer? What are some of the things that really keeps us from being in tune with what God would have us to do and lead us into that? And I'm just going to throw this out because I think there's many reasons. One could be there's no relationship with Jesus. That's a big one, obviously. But for us as believers, what's something that could really keep us from really engaging in that Spirit-led prayer life is sin. And this is something that we as believers experience, and sometimes when sin gets a root, like in our life, whether it's a habitual addiction, whatever it may be, and we're just not handing it over to the Lord, listen, that can block that communication. That can really draw us away from what the Lord would have us to do. And that Spirit-led prayer is so difficult, almost impossible, because now our hearts and mind really are devoted elsewhere. And so I just kind of want to, three things real quick, and this is not in the notes, but I just want to throw this out. What are some things that we can do to help get us back to this Spirit-led kind of prayer that's seeking after the Lord and really looking at what He desires? And the first thing is just repent. And that is a churchy word. But when we talk about repent, it just means this. Realize where you are, whether it's sin that's blocking this powerful prayer life, whether it's just whatever it may be, pride, bitterness, whatever's in your life that's keeping you from experiencing the fullness of God in your life, especially in your prayer life, it's time to give it over. And so when we talk about repentance and all that goes with that, but it's coming to the Lord and asking for forgiveness, it's laying it at the foot of the cross, and then repentance is this, is that you give it over to the Lord and you change your way, you turn and you follow after the Lord, your life is different. It looks different. You change the trajectory of your life to follow after God. That's repentance. It's handing it over to God and then moving in a different direction. That's the first step. If we want to experience the Spirit-led prayer, there are things that we have to get rid of so that we can focus in on what the Spirit would have us to do. But not only repent, but also remember. We have to remember what God's Word says. We have to remember who God is. And, you know, the Scripture is the divine revelation of who God is. You know, we can look at what He's created as revelation, but listen, for us, God's Word reveals who God is. And can I just share this with you? It's so important as we talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit in our prayer life, as we continue to allow Him to lead us. Listen, the Holy Spirit will never lead you somewhere that God's Word doesn't want you to go. Okay? And this is important. I'm going to tell you why this is important. I was a youth minister for a long time, and I can't tell you how many times students, but this is not just students, this is adults too. I still hear it a lot. But I'm just going to say an example of a student that comes up to me, and maybe they're dating the person they shouldn't be dating. The person they're dating is doesn't know the Lord. Person they're dating is living a lifestyle that's not obviously glorifying the Lord. They have all these things going on. And then when you talk to the person and you're sharing with them, that person looks at you and says, "It's okay, I've prayed about it." Can I just tell you that the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to do anything that goes against God's Word. And so it's important for us to know God's Word. So remember how he reveals Himself in His Word, so that we're able to discern as we are praying Spirit-led prayers, be able to discern what is right and what is not. What truly is the voice of the Lord in our life and the Holy Spirit, and what could be something that Satan's kind of implanting in us, leading us astray. So be very careful. So remember, and the last one is this, just rely. So when we understand what God's Word says, and we're really remembering that, and it's important that we're leaning on the Lord, we got to rely on the Holy Spirit as we pray. It just simply means this. If He's going to lead you somewhere and it lines up with God's Word and you feel like this is, and believe with all your heart, the Holy Spirit is leading and it's He's powerfully working, listen, rely on Him. Rely on His strength. Rely on the wisdom that comes through a Spirit-led prayer. Let Him move you to where you need to be. And so listen, Paul recognized the importance of Spirit-led prayer. Now moving on for that verse, it says this, with all prayer and supplication. So not only are we talking about specifically this prayer and the Spirit-led and all those things, listen, he says this, with all prayer and supplication. Well, listen, to stand firm, we must use all kinds of prayer. We must use all kinds of prayer. So that idea of all prayers literally means all kinds of prayer. If you were to take that phrase and dissect it down from the original, it would mean all kinds of prayer. That sounds very, strange to say all kinds of prayer, but I want you to hear what I believe and what the scripture says that Paul is talking about is this. We talk about all kinds of prayer. What he's saying is this, and you look in Psalms. You can read through Psalms, and you see different kinds of prayer all through Psalms. So when we talk about all kinds of prayer, it means this. We're going to have times of continual prayer that includes thanksgiving and worship in our prayer that gives God glory. There's going to be times of our consistent and constant prayer of forgiveness that we seek after the Lord. Praying for the unbeliever, those that are caught up in sin. That's another aspect of prayer that we are saying and speaking. And then there's prayer that we pray for our missionaries. There's prayers that we pray for our churches. There's prayers that we pray for revival in our country, in our world. Listen, these are all kinds of prayers that we're to be a part of and to use in our life. That means at all times that we're praying, we use all kinds of prayers as the Spirit leads. It says, use all with all prayer and supplication. That word supplication can literally mean request. And so many people take this this passage, this part of the verse as saying, Paul is saying when he talks about prayer, he's talking about all general prayer and all specific prayer. There are going to be times where you do a wholesale prayer of our country and our world. Then there are times where you're praying specifically for the salvation of your neighbor. There's times where you pray for our leadership, our government, and there's times you pray for your friend that's sitting next to you in the aisle there at church. Listen, there are general prayers and there are specific prayers. And this is what Paul is talking about. In all times, with Spirit-led, we are praying all prayers that we understand that for us, it's big and it's specific, but it's all kinds of prayers that we're praying constantly, consistently throughout the day. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love Paul talks about supplication, this idea of really specific, special prayer that's should be a part of our life. He talks about lifting those prayers up constantly. What does that lead to? Peace. As a part of the peace that God gives us, listen, it follows after this prayer life that we should have consistently and constantly, as Paul says, with all prayer and supplication. You know, the Latin word for supplication, which I think is very interesting, is to kneel, is what it means, to kneel. And I think that's a powerful picture of what Paul is getting at when he talks about all prayer and supplication, that we are to consistently and constantly be humbled before God, knowing that He is the one that's going to hear and answer prayers and work in our prayers. And we talk about kneeling. That is surrender to God. And Paul is saying surrender. Surrender all your prayers. Big prayers. General prayers. Specific prayers. All going to God because He is the one that works and He's the one in control. Moving on. It goes on. It says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Listen, to stand firm, we must have unwavering prayer. Not just all kinds of prayer, but unwavering prayer. In there, in that verse 18, it says, keep alert. You know, that word alert means to be awake and vigilant. So for us to do battle, to fight the good fight, listen, we need to be alert in our prayer life. Alert and persevering in our prayer life. This unwavering prayer, it just simply means this, is that we can't fall asleep in prayer. We can't close our eyes to what's happening around us. We need to be alert and ready and willing to pray at all times and always for what is happening in our world today. Can I tell you how many times in my life that I have missed opportunities to pray for someone or to pray for a situation only because my eyes were focused in the wrong area? And so when Paul is talking about be aware, be alert, be vigilant, to pray when needed to pray, to be able to persevere in all times so that you can lift up those prayers. Listen, he's talking about an unwavering prayer that should be a part of our life every single day. I love Luke chapter 18 where it talks about the persistent widow. And this is what, before Jesus spoke this parable to the disciples, this is what he said. He says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So I want you to hear today, pray and do not give up. Stay vigilant, stay alert, be ready and willing at all times, and never, ever give up. I heard it said this way, it's always too soon to stop praying. It is always too soon to stop praying. I don't know about you, but one of the hardest things for me to do is to persevere. And I want to encourage you today, in your prayer life, be alert and persevere. The last thing is this, as he finishes up, he says, making supplication for all the saints and also for me. So to stand firm, we must have all-inclusive prayer. We must have all-inclusive prayer. And what that means is simply this. Paul is saying, pray. Pray for all brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, and he goes on, also pray for me. But here's what's so interesting. He's saying, pray for all those on the front lines, living out their faith, fighting this good fight. And he says, pray for me. But he says this, pray for me so that I could boldly proclaim the gospel. So listen, it's not wrong to do a prayer for yourself. That's not wrong, but you're doing it so that you can proclaim the gospel boldly, live out your faith boldly. And here's what Paul is saying. Pray for all people. Pray for all believers, for their strength, for their perseverance. Pray to lift them up and to keep them encouraged. And then also pray for yourself that you be able to be bold and courageous when the time is called. So can I just encourage you today that if we're going to stand for our faith and we're going to fight this fight, then pray. Pray in a way that includes your neighbor and pray in a way that includes your fellow church member. Pray for all brothers and sisters. Can I just remind us that this world, as crazy as it can be at times, what they're looking for is they're looking for a divided church. Because if the church is divided, then it gives them justification. And so as believers today, may we take it upon ourselves to pray for each other daily. You know, it is hard to be mad at someone if you're praying for them. So pray for each other. Lift each other up daily. And in that, as you lift each other up daily, recognize the truth that as you begin to pray for one another, you pray for yourself that God would give you boldness and courage to proclaim the gospel. And imagine what God can do with a church that is intentionally praying for each other, that God would do something amazing. John Bunyan says this, says you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Listen, we cannot do anything without prayer. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I want to encourage you today, as we close out this series of Fight the Good Fight, prayer is the glue that keeps it together. That as we continue to fight, may we pray for each other, that we would continue to fight with all strength and courage. Listen, one of the things that we struggle with as believers is that prayer always ends up being our last resort. Can I just challenge you today to make it your first? Let's start with prayer and see what God's going to do through that. Let's start our day praying and continue to pray. Let's not wait till we have to withdraw something. May we continually pray and allow God to do something amazing. So, church, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. Allow the Lord to use you to do battle. We know what happens in the end. We are ultimately victorious. We're victorious today. But the battles are difficult. And so fight the good fight, unwaveringly following after the Lord. Let him use you in a mighty way.